Croeso I Amplify. Welcome to Amplify, stories about youth music in Wales. Straeon am gerddoriaeth ieuenctid yng Nghymru. Each month, we'll be asking a question about music and young people in Wales, inviting guests from the music sector in to discuss their work and hearing thoughts from the members of the Wales Music Youth Forum. This episode, we ask, what are the pathways into music for young people in Wales? Iffy chats to artists Foxglove and John Yeon Jones about their experiences leading into their positions in the music industry.
Well, hello everyone. It's fantastic to be with you all tonight. My name is Iffy Wobi. I'm part of Anthem as a board member and I'm a musician. And I'm your host for Amplify today. Joining us are two very special guests, Yeon Jones and Foxglove. We're really excited to have you on Amplify show today. Thank you for joining us. If you'd like to introduce and say a few words about yourself, we'll start with Yeon first of all.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Yeon and I'm an opera and musical theatre singer. From North Wales. I studied at the Royal Northern College of Music in Manchester. I've been quite fortunate to work all over the UK and abroad. Then lockdown hit and things changed a little bit. But we're getting back slowly back to hopefully what was normal with slightly adjusted stuff. But yes, and that's what I do.
Lovely to meet you. Thank you for the sweet introduction. And we've got Foxglove.
Hiya, I'm Foxglove. I'm a singer-songwriter. I make dark alternative pop music. I'm about 3 years into this now, so I'm relatively still new, I guess, because COVID kind of stopped all. But yeah, I'm quite active in the live music scene in South Wales and Bristol. Yeah, I have a few releases out, working on my first EP. And yeah.
Super exciting. Thank you guys for joining us on the podcast today. Our theme for the podcast this month is pathways into music. Now, interestingly, there are lots of different routes you can take, such as performance, Yeon and Foxglove. You can even do songwriting, music technology, production, all that kind of things you can do in the industry. But we're going to find out from our special guests what path they have chosen. And here's some advice about the next steps in the industry. First question is to Yeon. How did you get into music?
We'll be here all night. I think I started quite a young age in as a Welsh speaker. We were fortunate that music's always been around because of the Eisteddfod, which is the festival we have. There's a few festivals in there throughout Wales. So from a young age, I was singing in school choirs, school shows. I remember my first ever show was as the Ugly Sister in Cinderella in year 3 or 4 or something like that. And then slowly progressing and sort of falling in love with performing. That's how it happened to me. And when I was about 16, my singing teacher at the time said, you can try this as a career, which I never really thought about before. So she convinced me to apply for music college, which is how I ended up going to the Royal Northern College of Music in Manchester. I studied there for 6 years and in my undergrad and masters, and that was my... Yeah, Eisteddfod, I would say, and choirs were my first, was my initial pathway into music. And then the being surrounded by the right people, I think. I had a very good singing teacher and a very good music teacher in school. I was lucky in my school. I was in the rugby team, football team, hockey team, but also did all the music as well. And I think maybe we're a bit unique in Wales where it's cool to do music, especially the more classical side, where there's no taboo around it. So I was fortunate in my upbringing that I was able to go into it quite easily.
What about you, Foxglove? Tell us a bit about how you got into music. your end?
Yeah, so same as the Iron, really. I went to a lot of speaking school. So I was in the Steadfast quite a lot, in school choirs. But my family's quite like musical, so my mother and my grandmother was in lots of like musicals in the Valleys, so I'm from the South Wales Valleys in Ferndale. And then my great aunt is actually a musical conductor, so she's actually conducted for like Trokey Male Voice Choir and people like that. She's kind of like a big deal in the Welsh Valleys. You know, so, and I was learning the harp because every young Welsh girl learns the harp in school and things like that. And I've just always loved singing. Like, it's just something I've always wanted to do. I learned singing by like hearing. So I never actually got like classically trained or anything. Always been interested in it, you know, watching like my favorite artist grow up. And so then when I was getting a bit older and I decided to, you know, this is actually what I want to do like as a career, I studied music, commercial music in Cardiffville College when I was 16. So that was brilliant because when I went to college, it really sort of like ignited my passion back up and it really pushed me. So then I studied popular and commercial music in USW in Cardiff, the Atrium. So I'm a singer-songwriter, I don't play an instrument. So I applied for the Forte Project, so the Forte Project in 2019, and yeah, I got chosen as one of their 10 artists, which was very cool. So I came up with the name Foxglove, and I didn't actually have like a social media account at this point. It was kind of just an idea. I had like solo music, but yeah, they kind of took a chance with me, and then yeah, we ran with it, and since then I've been really like working with some like amazing like creatives, you know, my producer James Minas and a videographer, done like songwriting courses, just loads of different things like that, and I've built like a really strong network of people in the industry here in Wales. So yeah,
that's fantastic. Lovely to meet you guys and hear a bit about your background. Honestly fantastic. And so a bit about like Iain through the Eisteddfod and teachers inspiring you and the classical side, Foxglove, like the singer-songwriter side, but they all kind of gel together, don't we? Just the same kind of path and inspiration from contacts as well and those who are important to you. So I think we've heard a bit about your route. What was your route to where you are today? So the Forte Project? What is the Forte Project for those who don't?
The Forte Project is a an artist development scheme. So they choose 10 artists a year. It was in certain areas in South Wales, but they've now opened it up to like all of Wales. And yeah, I was very lucky to have got on. I honestly, like, it was the best decision I ever made because I felt quite, I don't know, like I said, I just didn't really know how to get there because I wasn't, like I said, I didn't play an instrument, so I was like, I couldn't just go up with a guitar and play on my own. I didn't know, I wasn't very good at speaking to people, and like networking, and networking is like one of the main things of this industry. Like, but yeah, from like just going to gigs and meeting new people and just being in that environment when I was in uni as well, because obviously it's like a creative uni, so you're around all these people, that sort of helps. But yeah, the Forte Project is incredible. They basically like, there's funding behind it as well. So they funded my first single, music video, and things like that. I got to work with singer-songwriter Violet Skies. And yeah, just amazing opportunities. And once like you're on their radar sort of thing, like the support doesn't just end. So just because like the year ended that I was on the Forte Project in 2019, like I still get support off them now. So if, you know, when I'm applying for funding, for example, like I'll speak to Spike, who's sort of like the main guy on there, he helps me out. So just a big massive like support network.
Yes, definitely important to have that support network behind you, isn't it? Because you try doing it one thing and you get so far. Definitely need like the contacts, the help behind you to get to where you want to be. So what about you, Iain? A bit about the Eisteddfod, wasn't it, and more the classical route?
Yeah, so as I said, the Eisteddfod is, I always go back to it as the starting point, giving us a stage as young people. And what I like about it is from all areas, not just the classical. As Foxglove said, there's the more folky side, the dancing side, if you want to do by now pop music, Battle of the Bands, and all sorts. And I think it is a real good starting point. For me, what it gave was a stage to get some confidence. So when I went to music college, I remember, I'll never forget, you have to stand in front of everyone right at the start. It's quite terrifying, and sing in front of your whole year. And yes, I was slightly nervous, but I didn't really bother me because I'd been on the A Seville stage and sang with S4C cameras everywhere and stuff. So singing in a room didn't bother me. But other people there who were the same 18 and the same age had never ever sung in front of anyone but their parents possibly before. I did feel that I was at that time a little bit ahead in the confidence staging wise stuff, because we'd been given those opportunities. There was a lot of support to go on and do those things. And especially as well, you've got Radio Cymru, S4C, the media in Wales, which, yeah, once you're in there, they do look after you. And you do get, you if you've got something exciting going on, you email or send a text to these people, and they'll usually get you on something just to promote. For example, I released my album during lockdown, and I was so fortunate because I just sent loads of emails out saying, can I have some publicity around this? And people tend to be in Wales, they look after each other, and there was a lot of support around it, I felt. And it's tough, Fox have said, it's tough to break in to any sort of genre, but as a young artist, when it's a saturated market, lots of people trying to do it, and if you can find that extra support, extra side, someone just to give you some advice and push in the right direction, then you've got to jump on those opportunities and take advantage of it.
Very, very true. Very, very true. Thank you for those words, guys. Just, what advice would you give to those wanting, other musicians wanting to kind of make their own journey and break through? What would you say to them?
Yeah, just do your research, and like believe in yourself. It is difficult because, yeah, like as I'm saying, it is oversaturated, and it can feel quite like lonely. But yeah, like surround yourself with people who like believe in you and will push you, because I think like as creatives, we all are quite hard on ourselves. I don't know if you guys feel that. Like the self-doubt kicks in and you're like, well, what am I doing? Like, am I good enough? But if you surround yourself with people who like really want you to succeed, and like people really, really do, and like that's what's kind of kept me going the last few years when like things have been hard, because the fact that somebody like will go out of their way to make sure that like I'm succeeding and then I can do what I love to do is like amazing. Like that, do you know what I mean? Like that's, people got lives, like, do you know what I mean? Like, why do people like care what I'm doing? So like it's really nice to have that. So yeah, just believe in yourself and like surround yourself with good people. And there's loads of support out there. Like, don't be afraid to ask. I was quite afraid to ask people for help because I thought it made me less of a musician, like because I didn't know how to get a band, or I didn't really know the techie side of stuff. I was like, oh, like, I'm surrounded by these people with like these big shiny guitars, and like they know how like all this stuff works. And I was like, oh, this is like, like music theory. I'm not gonna lie, like I've been taught here in, great detail, but like it's like maths to me. Like I couldn't tell you anything about it right now. Yeah, but all those things made me feel less of a musician, and they don't make you less of a musician at all. We've all got our strengths and weaknesses, so like focus on your strengths, and like where you have weaknesses, like you're allowed to ask for help. You can't be good at everything, so.
Very, very true. Thank you for that. That's really sound advice. Like, especially like, believing in yourself, that can be such a hard thing when you're on your own and you don't have that support. Have that support, talk to others, share ideas, believe in your craft, and just push yourself to the where you want to be. It's really important. What about you, Yian? Any advice?
The advice I would give is say yes to everything. I am a true believer of that. If opportunities come your way, say yes to them, because you learn so much say yes to things you wouldn't, you might normally not normally have done, and you might open a new pathway and you never know. I also think treat people how you want to be treated yourself. I know that's a cliche of growing up, but it is in the music industry. There's a lot of bitterness around, and it's maybe more so, maybe more so in the world of opera, but I'm not sure. It might be the same in singer-songwriter stuff. But if I find if you're positive and you support other people, it comes back to you. Believe in yourself, be you. I see a lot of artists, and you can tell, even through social media, you can tell when someone's trying to be something they're not. And you know, there's a lot of pressure around social media to create content and to be a certain, look a certain way or act a certain way. But again, it's saturating markets. And if you're copying someone else, then you're already failing in a way because there's two of you now. If you're just yourself, they can't possibly be a double of that. And people like, I find people like just someone to be genuine. And just because you don't know something or don't know your music theory or haven't done something or haven't gone to music college or whatever, doesn't make you any less of a musician. Because if you're doing something creative and making music and entertaining people and people like it, then you're succeeding.
So in your journey, how have you developed musically as artists? We'll get into the music side of it.
I think we myself and Fox have done very different things, but I think the world of opera is going away from just being, you know, the diva who stands in the front of the stage and park and barks. It's going away from that. You've got to be a more rounded artist. Hence, I love doing different genres. I like doing musical theatre, I like singing jazz, I like singing opera, and that's what makes me happy. My development has been the confidence just to do what I want, not feel the pressure to do something that I think other people want me to do. Also, it's accepting. I do a lot of auditions, and the majority of them I don't get. And I think as a musician, as a person, that I've come to accept that, and that's fine because again, it's a saturated market. There's loads of factors that go into it. It's putting your hat in the ring and trying, and it makes it more satisfying when that yes does come through, because it means a lot when that happens.
Very sound advice. Yes, learned a lot. Like a lot of what you said is very true. Like embracing the different genres, isn't it? You know, just being versatile in that way. That's a really interesting kind of topic to kind of look at. The different genres, they all come together as one, and you just don't you think? Or
yeah, about the genre thing, I've always been a very like strong believer in. I think genres are dead. Like, do you know what I mean? I don't like being put into a box. Yeah, I've opened for this band called Lastel, and they're like really, really heavy. And you know, when I said to people that I'm going to open for them, they're like, "Oh wow, like you know, you're pop and stuff." And I'm like, "Yeah, but like I'm also kind of emo. Like that's kind of like dip into that, but it doesn't have to be exactly the same because you know I've released like two songs so far, and they are you know it is pop music. I always sort of put something in front of pop to make it sound a bit cooler, just because I like doing that, like you know, alternative pop or like dark pop or emo pop, you know." Because, like, you know, pop's a very, like, wide thing. It's not, like, one thing. You've got, like, subgenres and stuff. And, you know, I'm really lucky with my producer because I don't know if you've heard of him. His name's called James Minas. And he produces, like, loads of people. He's basically, like, running the whole, like, Welsh music scene at the moment. He's, like, producing loads of people. Like, he does his own stuff. Like, he's incredible. And, like, he just gives me the space to just do what I want. And it's only so far I can go with my voice and the melodies that I come up with without like instrumentation. So like when I collaborate with like guitarists or like people who play piano or like anyone who plays an instrument, like that sort of brings it to life and adds a bit more to the song. So yeah, it just depends who I feel like working with. Like if this is the kind of sound that I want to go with, I'll go with that. It just depends how I'm feeling at the time.
Yeah, really true. Guys,
question, but
yeah, amazing advice, honestly. And a real theme that's coming out here is just it's really important to be you and to be your authentic self in what you're creating. Don't let anybody pin you in a box. If you want to do this thing, you want to go that way, do that. If you want to do this side, just be free to be you. That's very important. And believe in yourself and take those opportunities. Yeah, don't be afraid of no's. Just go for it. Go for it. Fantastic. And who has helped you in your kind of stage in your music? Who has helped you get to where you are? Who are the critical kind of people in your journey?
It is in the world of opera, you are supported a lot by a vocal teacher, and I was supported a lot by a teacher called Matthew Best. He was fantastic with me throughout college, and then today I'm in London today. I've had lessons today with two different people. But when you find the people who really work for you, it was today I just had a bit of a penny drop moment where something's like, oh, that something's not been working for a while, and it just worked. And it's finding those people who can help you, especially in the world of opera, where a lot of it really depends on the technique, and just people who support you. So, like I say, going back to family, you know, if ever I put anything online, the first person to like it is my mother. And you can't beat that, can you? As you need that mother and grandmother people just to hit that like button, and at least it gets started then.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Just loving the stories coming through. What about you, Foxglove? Tell us a bit about who's been critical in your journey so far.
When I went to college, my tutor, her name was Sharon Leckie, and she was amazing. Like, she really, really, like, pushed me, and just, like, she was just so supportive whenever there was just, like, live gigs, and she just, like, yeah, just, like, really believed in me, and that really, really pushed me. Like, I wasn't going to go to uni. That wasn't part of my plan, but... yeah, like going to uni, like opened up all these opportunities for me where I met like a bunch of different people. I learned so much. I realized the different avenues I could go down. And then obviously the support I've got from Forte and also BBC Horizons. Forgot to mention them earlier, but I got awarded funding last year with them, and they're amazing as well. Like, they're just so supportive, and you can just ask anybody anything and they're there. So yeah.
The Welsh music scene is very kind of helpful together. They really want to help musicians get to where they want to be, like Horizons and Forte and the Eisteddfod and S4C and things like that. And it's really good to kind of get into those areas if you can. What would you say to those who really want to do music but are like, they don't have that support or something? They're struggling, you know, it's really, and they want to be at that stage like, where they made it. It's just that, I guess, other advice, you know, for those listening, because some might be in that position.
Yeah, well, I was in that position. So put yourself out of your comfort zone, and like, you know, if you are really nervous about it, just ask for help. Just absolutely, like, don't be ashamed of it. Like, just ask, because everybody, like, I had some like really sound advice when I was in Folk Spills, because for anyone who doesn't know what Folk Spills is, it's like a showcase festival, and it's like a networking festival as well. And I was like really nervous because I like not very good at talking to people that I don't know, and there was all these like industry people there, and I was like, ah. And I spoke to this woman called Julie Weir. She works for Sony Music, and I asked her for advice on that, and she said, realistically, like, everyone feels the same way as you do, so if you go into it like that, like, it's not as scary. Do you know what I mean?
Amazing. Thank you so much, guys. It's really sound advice coming through. And yes, what about you, Yayan? What, any other points to add?
Well, I can only come from the more classical side. Get yourself a good teacher. Someone who knows how to look after young voices. Join groups, join choirs. I was part of Ysgol Glaneithwy when I was young. They have been on Britain's Got Talent since, but they came second in Last Choir Standing before actually I joined, so I was in between both of those shows. But I was so fortunate I got to travel the world with them. We went to Belgium, China, all of Europe, and in the UK, and that was just from being in a choir. Yeah, it's yeah, it's if you want to do it, find what works for you and go for it.
So thank you to our special guests for being on Amplify today. If you'd like to know more about Yayan and Foxglove, please check our show notes at the end of the program, which will tell us all about their work. Thank you very much.
Anthem ambassador and harpist Katrin Finch chats to Anthem about her journey into music and shares advice for young people who are passionate to pursue careers in the industry.
Well, I got into music initially, actually, through my primary school. So I was a young kid, grew up in West Wales, saw a harpist play when I was like five, announced that that was what I wanted to do. And, you know, I'm going to be a harpist now, Mum. So my parents then rented this little harp because we didn't really have much money at the time. And I started with a peripatetic teacher in Aberystwyth, actually, through the school. And then at the time, the local authority there, Ceredigion, were quite active with helping kids and stuff. So I gradually just did loads of practice. And I think the main thing I did was I got involved. So, like, there are things, you know, all the Eisteddfods that go on around Wales. There was a local orchestra that I got involved with, and even just at school, you know, then there was a bit of choir going on, or they needed some harp, then I just get on it really and get involved. So then started taking lessons up in North Wales a couple of years later. And I guess if I look back on my childhood and on my musical life, it was a mix of, it wasn't just classical. It was kind of a lot of different stuff going on. You know, I kind of loved, when I went on to music school, I loved to play with jazzers. So there was a jazz side to the school. And, you know, I'd always get going with that. And then when I went further in my further years, when I was in further education and a student, I got involved with the commercial side of music. So I'd do some of the recording sessions and the students that were learning how to write media music, and I would help them out. And so I think that's always been the basis and the bottom line of my, and I guess still is to this day really, of my musical ethos, is to like be very open-minded and, you know, to be interested and to be willing and open to all music, you know. And and I think what that's done over the years is it's kind of just pushed my boundaries a little bit further, and for me now it means that I kind of have this very large musical world, actually. And so I'm, you know, I wouldn't say I'm a classical musician or a world musician or a folk musician. I'm kind of, although I do play all three of those styles of music, I suppose, I just regard myself as a musician now. So you can do what you want, right? And I think the musical worlds are morphing into one anyway. And, you know, I like the saying a colleague of mine has, which is that there's only really two types of music, rubbish or brilliant. So, you know, I'm kind of into that one. I just roll with that now.
Now, experiences, stories and tips through the eye of production and management from our guests, artist manager Jamie Winchester and North Walian DJ Endaf, led by artist, activist and Wales Music Youth Forum member Andrew Organ.
My name is Andrew Organ, and I'm a member of the Anthem Youth Panel and also an agent for change at Arts Council Wales, and a multidisciplinary artist as well.
My name's Endaf. I'm a music producer and DJ from Carnarvon, North Wales, and I do other bits and bobs as well.
No, I'm Jamie Winchester, music production and stuff, DJ as well, but also artist management is what really my main thing at the minute as well.
Amazing. Thank you both. So first question is, about your humble beginning. So where did it all start? How did you, you know, what first piqued your interest in music production? Is there any specific moment, any specific music or experiences that made you want to start producing? We can go to you first, Jay.
So I think what really made me want to produce music and stuff, I think it started from the DJ side of it. When I first seen Jam Master Jay from Run DMC with the turntables, red flight cases, I was like, I've got to get some of them. And I bought some, saved up, got some, done the DMC competitions. And then there was this album that come out, I think it was in 1989, called Critical Beatdown by Ultra Magnetic MCs. And I heard the beats on it and it was just like, cool, I want to do this as well. So, you know, back then you'd have a look on the back, where it was made, where it was recorded, produced, etc. And it just went on from there, really. I knew what gear to get by reading back then, the samplers and stuff. And that was it, really. That's what got me into it.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I guess the way I got into it was kind of like by mistake in a way. I was always playing loads of different instruments as I grew up. But I wasn't particularly good at anything. So when I discovered that you could make music with computers and kind of not have to be good at playing instruments, that just kind of, I was obsessed with it, you know? And then through, you know, fiddling around with some Cubase and Reason and stuff when I was in college, after making a few tunes, I needed a way to be able to perform them. And that's what then got me into DJing.
Amazing, amazing. So you both of you have a DJ background. So how does that influence music production then? You know, is there a relationship between DJing and producing music, in your opinion?
I think for me, the love of music, the love of hearing tracks, it just motivates you every day. And it may even influence your sound a bit, what you're into and that. So, you know, when you're there constructing maybe a beat or something, because you've been listening to tunes for so long and so long, like the breakdowns, the fillers, the intros, the outros, harder drums, slower drums, you know, I suppose you just learn. It's like education when you listen to a tune as well, isn't it? I hope I'm making sense.
Yeah, I mean, how it affects my brain when I'm making music, I guess. I'm kind of thinking what it would be like to actually mix this into another track sometimes, if it's that sort of tune that I'm after. It's interesting, actually. I've just been working on a song last night, for example, and I kind of left it for a couple of months now. And I came to it and I just basically just destroyed it. And instead of it being like a song, I've just kind of like looped different bits, made it more minimal. And all of a sudden it sounds more like the sort of thing that I would DJ in a nightclub or something. Yeah, I mean, if you're making especially electronic, like dance music and all that sort of thing, I think it has to be, you have to think about that when you're making it, because that's where it's going to get played. That's where it's meant to be enjoyed in a way, is in, you know, DJ sets and nightclubs, festivals and all that sort of thing, you know. But then also the other side to that is, and this is what I struggle with, is am I making music for that setting, or am I making it for the radio? Because the sort of thing I do is kind of like in between those two worlds, you know. Yeah, you can make an extended mix and a radio edit or whatever, but you know, I think it's really about trying to find that balance for me anyway.
Cool, interesting. So you've kind of both touched on it. So genre, obviously, Jamie, you come heavily from a hip hop background, and after you saying more electronic music. Again, what made you kind of gravitate towards those specific genres of music? And do you have experiences with other genres of music in music production? You know, can you cater to different sounds, different audiences?
I think what got me into it, I mean, back in the day when my father used to buy records and stuff, on the B side of the track, of the single, was like probably the track that the group really wanted to make, rather than the A side that went in the charts. It was more dirtier and grittier. And then, so that was that. For whatever reason, when I was so much younger, I preferred that version. And then when I started hearing that early hip-hop sound, as soon as I heard it, I was hooked. Do you know what I mean? Just hooked. And it just went on from there and there. Can I cater for different sounds? I can do... I'd like to say I can do a good neo-soul track, a reggae-influenced hip-hop track. And I'll have a go at anything, really, but... You know, I do like to stick to what I love.
Yeah, so that's another kind of thing that I've been, well, not struggling, but I've thought a lot about over the past few years, because now I make sort of like, you know, house, funky house kind of tracks mostly, but with a pop influence to them. But before that, I was I found myself making a lot of like sort of down tempo, kind of jazzy electronic stuff, like a bit of neo soul, a bit of stuff I would just listen to at home when I was chilling. You know, the problem with that was when I was playing gigs, which more often than not were 2 a.m. in a nightclub somewhere. That sort of music doesn't work there, so I never actually got to play the music I was making, and that for me was a problem because there was like my DJ kind of identity and then my music producer identity. They didn't quite line up. So I think where I've gone with it is, again, like I said earlier, trying to meet in the middle. I like to bring those kind of jazzy, funky influences into it, but with a beat that, you know, people can dance to and kind of DJs can mix into kind of house sets, really. So that's why I do it. But I love both sides of it, you know.
Who are your musical influences, or are there any artists or producers or DJs that influence your approach to producing?
DJ Premier is and always was my go-to guy. So just the way picks his sounds and builds his sound library up and stuff. I loved him and the way he puts his stuff together. DJ Premier, and then you've obviously got your Pete Rocks, Easy Mo B's, Jay Dillo, obviously, and stuff like that. Just love all of those guys. And there's probably a million more as well.
Yeah, I mean, from my side, I think what kind of fits what I'm going for currently is probably Disclosure. I think they've found that perfect balance of underground-ish kind of sounds, but meets kind of radio-friendly, commercial-type music. And I think that's where I'm kind of going for. So, yeah.
Nerdy question then. What about software? Like, specifically speaking now, I want to start producing. I'm thinking, cool. You know, I got Fruity Loops out there. I got Logic out there. Pro Tools, Ableton, God knows how many. How did you decide which kind of software to start with? And, you know, what kind of tips do you have to people who are starting out producing in terms of softwares and what to actually get in terms of making music?
I use Pro Tools for obviously the recording and the mixing process and the vocals and everything. Do you know what I mean? Software, I'm still using MPCs and stuff like that. But I do get into Ableton. I know that much. And I know there's other great pieces of software out there, you know, like Fruity Loops and Logic and stuff. But yeah, just Pro Tools for me for recording and mixing and then get on the old MPC. But the new MPC, the newer ones, this one here, is you can link it up into your door as well, like, you know, so you got a bit of everything on there. You can go hardware and then you can also draw in the waves if you want to and the beats and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think for me, I've used a few of them over the years. So I started off using Cubase just because I kind of acquired a copy of it from someone. And that's how I got into it, you know, and Reason. And then, you know, eventually I kind of started investing in like, you know, proper gear and software and stuff. I was using Logic for quite a bit. That was my go-to. But then I kind of, basically I was playing a gig when I was in uni in Cardiff. And at the time I used a laptop as part of my set and I finished my set. I went to get a beer and I turned around and my laptop was gone. I had a MacBook at the time. So, you know, I was using Logic. And then I couldn't really afford to buy another MacBook because they're expensive. So I just got like a Windows computer and that bad thing that happened to me probably like shaped the next kind of,
yeah,
however many years it's been, I've been using Ableton for, because honestly, like, it is amazing, especially if you, yeah, for making music and working with MIDI and all that sort of thing is brilliant. But then also, if you want to play live, and that's what I love about Ableton, it kind of like you can jam with it and with other people, whereas like maybe with the other doors, they're not as creative in that sense, you know. So it doesn't really matter what software you go for. You just go for whatever feels right for you.
Yeah.
For me, kind of Ableton does the job.
But as you know, there's loads of, so if someone wants to get into it and maybe they can't afford Ableton, Pro Tools, this or that or the other, can still start with, was it Apple Fruity Loops or something? You've got to start somewhere. You can still put your ideas into that. and then build up from there.
That actually touches on a question I was going to ask in terms of music production can be really, really expensive. So, you know, do you think it's accessible? You know, is there a way that if I was on an incredibly low budget, but I thought, you know, I really, really want to, you know, make beats. I'm thinking of, you know, examples like people like Steve Lacy, who just used GarageBand on his phone and, you know, won a Grammy off of it, working on Kendrick's album, working on Tyler, the Creator stuff and his own solo stuff and the internet. So is there a way, you know, on a low budget that you can get into music production and still kind of get your ideas and execute them in the way that you want it?
I think so. I mean, it depends what we call a low budget. Is £150, £200 a lot for, you can get a good second-hand Mac these days with an SSD drive in there, with Logic loaded on there, pair of earphones, you're in.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you need. And like, I think sometimes I've got a lot of hardware and stuff now just because I've been doing this for a long time. And I don't know, it's kind of, it's sexy, isn't it? Like touching buttons and pushing things, like it just feels nice. But at the end of the day, you don't need that.
So how long from when you first started producing, the very first time you touched a computer or a MIDI keyboard or whatever, until you made a beat where you thought, okay, wow, yeah, this is like my first proper, this is a great beat. Like how long was that process? You know, how long was the learning curve?
I remember when I made my first beat, I thought it was like the sickest thing ever. So I think every time I make a song, I think it's, this is the one. And then I listen back to it a few weeks later and I'm like, oh my God, that sounds terrible.
Jay, what about you?
Probably like the first week, I was like, this is the best thing ever. Do you know what I mean? It is the best thing ever. And that was that. Do you know what I mean? But until someone, you know, actually, I think the first time someone actually said, oh, I like that beat, let me vocal that. Like, I think I remember that happening. And it's probably about 2 years after I proper started making beats and stuff. I was up in Birmingham and I just made a contact with someone and he said, oh, send me some stuff. So I set the tape up to him and he was like, oh, I like that one there. And I was killing. In fact, I was in this gym in the other side in a little room over there with just a sampler and some decks. And then a few weeks later, the guy come down and we recorded two songs in Cumbran, in a home studio, and it come out on vinyl. So I was well happy. That was like, I've made it. Well, so I thought I had.
So I get this a lot because I feel like as an artist, as a musician, so I don't produce, but obviously I make music. I think it really does change the way you listen to music. You almost just can't listen to it maybe in the way if someone who isn't an artist can. So do you think producing music really changes the way you actually consume music and the way you listen to music?
It doesn't for me. I just, if it's banging, it's banging. I love it. When you just hear some good music, whether it is, I don't know, reggae, hip hop, pop, rock, if it's banging, I just love it. It doesn't really change how I listen to it. You may like think, oh, I love the way they mix that, the way they put them vocals in there and that reverb. What's that reverb? Do you know what I mean? But yeah.
I think I've got like different modes of listening to music. So like, for example, you know, I said earlier, you know, maybe I might listen to music in the car or whatever. If I'm looking for music, like for a DJ set, let's say I'm like trawling through like these kind of track source or Beatport or whatever like that, looking for tunes to go my set, I will be super critical about it. But if I'm just, you know, having a few drinks out, having a good time somewhere, I think I can still enjoy it as a punter as well. But it's about what kind of mode you're in at the time, you know?
How do you balance being really, like, actually really knowing, you know, that knowledge of production and just being like, this just sounds good, like, let's just go with it. It might not be the perfect, sat on the perfect, you know, beat or whatever, but you just think, yeah, it just sounds good. How do we balance that meticulousness with that, just let me just be creative and see what happens, you know?
That's the hard part, isn't it? Because I think, like, you know, music is not like maths. There's not, like, necessarily a right or wrong answer. Although, yeah, there's certain things that are proven to work and certain things you just, like, okay, just no. I did a uni course, music technology, in the University of South Wales. And at the time, I was learning all this stuff and every day going to lectures and all this and that. And it's all good and it served me well. But I probably back then I was focusing more on the meticulous side of it and technical side, whereas having that in your subconscious is a good thing. But then letting it kind of dominate your workflow, it can kind of hinder the creative side. Because I think the interesting thing about being a music producer is you're writing music like as a writer, as an artist, but then at the same time, you're kind of mixing it as like an audio engineer. And they're like two completely different things. But like, because of, you know, what we use now and what producers do, you kind of balance them at the same time. So I know some people say they will write it first and then they will go and mix it. But I think it's also hard to do that. I think they kind of intertwine with each other and you can't kind of get rid of that. Because for me to vibe with something, I've got to make sure it sounds kind of crisp and stuff, you know?
Well, I'm definitely going with the, if it sounds good on the ear, that's good enough for me. Do you know what I mean? You know, you can spend all day trying to do that or do what's supposed to be right, but if it don't sound good, it doesn't sound good. So I couldn't care, but literally if it sounds good, it sounds good, right? And if you're pushing the red a little bit, you're pushing the red a little bit, you know. Let's just get it out there. And I mean when you do, I know, but when you do listen to a lot of tunes that are coming out now, you know, especially a lot of hip-hop and stuff, it's like, oh, that sounds rough there, but it sounds good, like, do you know what I mean? You know, so no, I try not to get too scientific at all.
I think like sometimes those imperfections are what make something good and unique as well, you know? Don't be putting like compressors on things if it doesn't need it. Don't be doing it just for the sake of it, you know? Especially with like, you know, samples and stuff as well, because they're probably already compressed.
It does help if you know what does what in this whole scenario as well, you know? That definitely does help. But I think like to just top, you know, what you just said, EDAF, is, you know, just go with what your ears are saying. Do you know what I mean? And just kill it.
When I was younger, I would attempt to master all my own stuff. I mean, I don't think many people master their own music, yeah? I always pay a mastering engineer to do it because that's what they do. And it gets like a fresh pair of ears on it. So I don't think it's cheating or nothing like that. So yeah, just bear that in mind. If you've got a song you really like, you've made and it's good, but you can't mix it, learn how to mix, but then, you know, you can always do that if you've got the money.
That's right. And you can speed up then your creative process. Why do you want to be, if you are producing, making beats, if someone can mix while you're making another beat, enjoying yourself rather than getting stressed out with a mix. So be it. And if you find that right mix engineer that you buzz off, that's that. And you can always send that rough guide mix that, you know, that's the vibe I was going for. Can you do that, but better? Do you know what I mean? And it comes back.
What is your creative process when it comes to making beats? You know, where do you start? Is it melodies? Are you just, you know, playing around, jamming? What are both your creative processes?
I think it's hard for me. I'd like to kind of, I've always thought it would be sick to just have a formula that is efficient and just works, but I end up just kind of winging it all the time and it probably slows me down, but that's what I do. So I will probably start off with either some drums or sometimes if you've got like a really solid chord progression and like a nice verse chord, like A, B, C sections and all that sort of thing, that's probably the most important thing. Like I would love to be able to kind of just work with more people in the studio. So I would really encourage that. If you're, you know, you've got friends that are, I don't know, play instruments or sing or whatever, and let, you know, get them involved in the creative process as well, because I think it's more fun and it seems to flow a bit easier for me, at least when there are other people in the room to bounce ideas off, you know.
My creative process depends what style I'm going for, but let's say I'm going for the good old boom bap style, I will be get a stack of records, start looking for the, you know, like a half second of a sound or something. And it could be one sound that I find, and I'll get one that goes with that. But before you know it, I've got like a nice few sounds in there, you know, built up that hopefully no one knows where I got them from because they're only half a second or something. And then just start programming, make a beat or two, But what I love also doing, say I've made a real nice beat out of those sounds that I found, I'll then create different types of beats with the same sounds and just go for a different style of programming and stuff. And eventually I come up with something that I love. And that's my way of doing it.
But I think I like what you said about starting with, you know, finding sounds, samples to work with. I think if you can manage to do that, I think that's one thing I struggled with when I was just starting out. I would just put sounds that don't kind of work together and try and force it. And when you do that, it just, you know, you try and fix it in the mix, but you fix it by just picking the right sounds from in the first place.
Yeah.
Definitely. I only have one more question after that. I think that was a kind of a good wrap up from NDAF. But my question is, to someone starting out now, I'm a 15-year-old kid, I want to get into music production. What piece of advice would you have for me starting out?
Starting out, okay. I would definitely, what style of music you into? So whatever style of music you into, listen to this is just my point of view, just listen to loads of tracks like that, find out the hottest producers in that genre, do that, and then when you get your computer at the start, if that's how you're going to go with your Logic or your Ableton, try and imitate the beat, just try and imitate it to bring up, you know, oh, how did he do that, copy it, and then at least, I know you've copied him, but you've learned how to do that, you've learned how to do them drum rolls, you learn how to do the hi-hats in and out and stuff.
No, that's good advice. That, I mean, I think if I was talking to my 15-year-old self, you know, I would say just have fun with it, which I definitely did when I was, you know, when I was 15, oh well, 16, 17 when I started, whatever. But yeah, have fun with it. And let's say you're spending like 3 hours a day playing Call of Duty or something, maybe instead of spending 3 hours doing that, maybe like just watch like YouTube videos by like, you know, producers that you like, because that's one thing that exists now that probably wasn't kind of so accessible for me when I was starting out, is you just go on YouTube and literally you can just type in like, you know, I was talking about Disclosure earlier, Disclosure production masterclass or something. Pretty much every producer that is like, you know, at the top of the game like that, they're doing these things now, yeah? And they will show you how they made like their song. But I think the most important thing is getting back to what I said earlier, don't give up, because like, you know, the hardest part of it is you make like, you know, music and you spend all this time making music and then people don't care about it. Yeah. But people don't have to care about it as much as you do. They're not going to care about it as much as you do. And you have to be okay with that. And you've got to be able to deal with rejection and just carry on.
And don't be afraid to be you. Don't be afraid to like put something out there that's not out there. Do you know what I mean? But you know, because sometimes the music can all sound the same, and you'll try and do that. But just be you. Just be you. If it sounds good to you and it sounds crazy, it's going to sound good and crazy to other people as well.
Yeah, that was amazing, both of you. Thank you.
Amplify. Youth Music in Wales is produced by Anthem Cronfa Gerith Cymru Music Fund Wales, creating a Wales in which music can empower every young life. It is project managed by Tori Silman and Rian Hutchins, with studio production by Ivan Pritchard, music by Blankface, and original concept by Ifia Wobi. Find out more about Anthem and the Wales Music Youth Forum at www.anthem.wales.